This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out.
Guess who's in for the boys today?
Somebody's got morning baseball wood.
That's right. My Louisville Slugger is fully out this morning.
It was bat day at the game yesterday, obviously, for all fans, whether or not you were at the game or not.
It's a Waddle and Sylvie.
Remember that? The old bat day where they give you a bat?
They started wasn't it at Dodger Stadium? And like there was a full scale riot or something. Like they were hitting each other, or they were throwing them on the field.
Yeah, that's what you, as a kid, you wanted to go to these special days. And now, listen, I've never been to the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati as an adult, but back when the Reds played at Riverfront, the games you would want to go to were special games, like bat day. It's bat day. Get a Johnny Bench bat.
Did they give out the full bat?
Like, yes.
When I was a kid, they gave out the mini bat day. Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, bat day.
But then there were fights.
Of course. But back in the ball day, come to the Cincinnati Reds versus the Dodgers ball day. Two innings in, there's 10,000 baseballs on the field because no one can control themselves and act like a normal human being.
Which is ironic because you spend the entire game hoping you catch a baseball.
No question.
You know, and you're begging everyone, throw me a ball. And then you get the free ball during the turnstile. And then what do? You just throw it back on the field because you act a fool.
Last night was bat day for baseball fans.
Yeah.
Kind of metaphorically.
So Waddle and I are in for Cap and Hoodie. This is what's going on today. This is the reason. It is not spring trading on Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Our days are all screwed up because of the Tuesday spring trading that is going on during March. This is not spring trading. What prompted this is we have a White Sox game on today. So that is on at 3:00 today. So we had a short show today. Hoodie was already taking vacation today. So with Hoodie already out, they just said, hey, why doesn't Cap do the solo show,
the short solo show,
and let him sleep in today? Waddle and Sylvie will do the morning show for the next couple of days. So we're in today, and we are in tomorrow. So
Well said. There you go. That's been described.
Yes.
We'll be here tomorrow as well. So get your sleep tonight. What will you watch tonight that will have you excited and you can't get to sleep?
Bulls basketball.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Bulls and Sixers.
Can they sweep the Sixers in back-to-back days? But we'll get to that. Yeah. Yes, I was fully aroused last night. I had my Team USA chubby on, but by the end of the game, it was the Shohei show.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Major League Baseball, the World Baseball, you know, classic. Okay, we can talk about it from a broader spectrum, but for Major League Baseball, you could not have scripted a sport that is looking to gain traction with younger fans and become, you know, the apple of you know, the sports watcher's eye again. You couldn't have scripted better last night.
No, because you never truly have viral moments like you do in football, like you even have in the NBA, in baseball. And like you said, a lot of people, including me, when the WBC was first created, thought, what are you doing? You are trying to create an Olympic-type event that no one is going to be into, that no one is probably going to want to play in, that no one is ready to play in, that you are in an exhibition mode, and now you're going to try and force them to be in playoff mode, and there's no real good time to play in this tournament, but somehow, some way, guys have bought in.
Yeah.
And every person who has played in this tournament have said that this is one of the greatest things that they have been a part of.
Well, the Dominican team, I think Jonathan and I were talking about it, that there's five or six of their players that said this is significantly more important to them than anything World Series related. So, look, and again, if I told you before the first pitch was thrown, if I asked you, what would you want as a climax moment, baseball terms?
Yeah.
How would you write this script? If you could, to kind of enjoy the moment, stand on center stage and say, look at us. Could you have written it any better?
You got it. The dream was to have we knew Shohei Ohtani was not going to start the game. Everyone said Shohei will probably close the game if given the opportunity. So the dream was to have Shohei Ohtani face Mike Trout in this game.
Yes.
In the ninth inning. Not only did you get that, but you got Shohei Ohtani face Mike Trout in a one-run game with two outs. And then he struck him out to end the game, and it was a 3-2 count.
It was. That's what I mean. Like, you could not have scripted this better if you're Major League Baseball. You just couldn't have.
They got very lucky. I was telling Shay this before. In football, whenever it, remember 2 years ago when we had one of the greatest playoff games ever, and we had Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. We had the Chiefs against the Bills, and it was so good offensively that it prompted an overtime rule change. This is so good, we must have both quarterbacks touch the ball. It was unfair that Josh Allen didn't get his turn to match. Like in baseball, where both teams get to hit in the top and the bottom, we must have a top and the bottom of overtime. So it prompted a rule change. But the point is we know on offense that Patrick Mahomes will always get a chance to be featured whenever the offense is. But we don't always know in baseball that Mike Trout is going to get his chance. So in the semifinal game, to lead off down one, Shohei Ohtani against Mexico led off the ninth inning, and he led off with a double. Baseball got very lucky,
yep,
and it came through, and it made it a viral moment. And then in this game, baseball got lucky because in a one-run game, it was Mike Trout up with two outs,
yep,
up against Shohei Ohtani, and it was primetime TV.
There's no better way to start the Major League Baseball season than what you watched last night. Now, whether or not this will have the traction that some expect, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I think that Major League Baseball could not have asked for a better tournament and a better conclusion to the tournament with regard to how their sport is advertised, especially to the younger fan base or the potential younger fan base. It was a great marketing. It wasn't a ploy, but it was a great marketing event for the game, for sure.
Yes. 312-332-3776. Was this a game and a tournament that you're going to remember? Is that an at-bat that you're going to remember? And my takeaway, 12 hours later, not even 12 hours later, that game ended at 10 o'clock. And I was disappointed, obviously, rooting for the U.S. There were so many good things, and we'll get to Kyle Schwarber in a minute. But as a Cubs fan, and I'm wearing my Cubs hat, you could see it on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Cubs underwear to match.
No. Well, no. I mean, it's like a
Cubby
it's
blue
not
underwear.
Really a Cubby blue.
No.
Jockey underwear. Boxer briefs. You boxer brief guy too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that about you.
That's weird.
Well, I mean, well, it was 16 years together.
Yeah. No, I know.
My big takeaway is Shohei Ohtani is a free agent next year. And all my friends say, Sylvie, it's not happening. It's not happening. And I probably think that too. But Shohei is a free agent next year. And like, what do we think? We think $500 million?
Half a bill. Yeah.
Half a billion. And I know it's not apples to apples. I know it's a different sport.
His contract will be worth probably what someone would give you for the Cincinnati Reds.
For the entire team?
For the entire team. And the stadium. And
the Cubs make money hand over fist.
Yeah.
What they're worth, what they bring in, everything All of it. And I know the Dodgers bring in even more, and the Yankees and all and the Mets and everything. But and it's not apples to apples. But if Daniel Jones can make $45 million a year, Daniel freaking Jones can make $45 million a year. I want to pay Shohei Ohtani to pitch and to hit over $50 million a year. I would have no problem as an owner what he could bring in for my organization and pay for himself in sponsorships, in you can now get your jersey with the title sponsor and put the patch on. Think about the sponsorship opportunities that you can bring in. I have no problem paying Shohei Ohtani over $50 million a year.
Well, I think
none.
I don't think he will. I don't think you'll pay for it completely, but you'll subsidize the hell out of it. Subsidize it with what you're saying, the sponsorships that you'll be able to sign. You'll never have an empty seat in your ballpark whenever he's there, especially when he's pitching. He will create revenue that will help pay for that contract. And, oh, by the way, if you're interested in winning, he'll have an impact on that as well.
He's going to get you so much. He's going to get you eyes. He's going to get you a two-way player, which is unheard of. He showed you yesterday that I don't know what the shelf life is on a starter and a hitter. How long can he start? How long can he be dominant as a starter? He even showed you yesterday that if he's not going to continue to start, he can close. He can think about the possibilities that if he's not going to be a 30-game-a-year starter, he could even be your closer and a hitter.
He's the most marketable player in baseball, and it's not even close. So from a business perspective, you're going to get return on your investment just from the monetary side, not to mention how much better he'll make your team.
Yes, that's what I like. Yeah. He could save games, and he can hit 40 home runs. He could win games as a starter, and he could hit home runs. This isn't a one-way player. Why in all of sports, when you look around and you see all the different athletes who are making $40 million a year, what is Zach going to be getting? And I know, again, it isn't just baseball. It's apples to oranges. But with Daniel Jones and what other athletes make these days, I would pay Shohei Ohtani, if I'm Tom Ricketts, easily $50 million a year over 10 years, and I wouldn't shy away from it. No. Step up to the plate, Tom.
I am. I'm stepped up right here. Okay. I don't have $50 million a year. Look, the other sports have salary caps. Like, there's no restrictions in baseball. So, like, you can't have you don't have to worry about how this is going to affect your payroll. You're going to have to pay for it, but you're going to get something in return. Like, this is an investment, yes, not just in terms of your wins and losses, but this is going to be an investment with regard to the dollars and cents.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Your thoughts on the game. How much will what you saw last night and in this tournament stick with you as a sports fan? Is this going to resonate more than just a baseball game? And then Shohei Ohtani, as a Cub fan, will you demand that Tom Ricketts steps up to the plate with the big boys? This is Major Market Chicago. This is Wrigley Field. Should he pay whatever it costs for Shohei Ohtani? Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Hoodie.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Like Shay had the camera up on Twitch during the break. I like that. I don't mind that.
Well, you're an exhibitionist.
Yeah, well, like, it gives people...
Look at me, everybody.
People like the behind the scenes stuff. People ask, are you going to the beach? You got the visor on.
Am I going to the beach?
You going to the beach. You got the visor.
No, it's usually for the golf course. The beach just doesn't...
So we're talking about the World Baseball Classic. We
very bright in here, too.
Shohei, I got a poll question. I'm eager to see the results. Do you believe Tom Ricketts will pay for Shohei Ohtani?
I don't, but he should.
That's the question. Not should they, will he? We have a guest who has called in. I don't know if it's on the Shohei topic, if he saw that on Twitter, or if he was listening and wanted to weigh in on Schwarber.
Well, it's a good time as well, because the Bulls have made a run here and maybe dispelling a lot of his nonsense. I'm just kidding.
It's our guy, Nick Friedel, who I believe is going to be at the anniversary party on Friday as well. Nick, what prompted the call in?
To just call in I'm worried about you guys, because just because you're in the cap time slot doesn't mean you have to have an insane cap topic. And when I wake up, as I usually do, and hit the app and start listening to my friends,
I thought you were just saying, as I usually wake up, I would say, I hope so.
I mean, let's hope so. Let's hope that it keeps going till Friday. I mean, I just wanted to come give you guys a hug, but this insane Schwarber take made me look at some numbers and think about Cap's brain had fallen into the Waddle and Sylvie show, which was scary. Is he one of the most clutch athletes the city has ever seen?
Yeah.
We know what he did in 2015. We know what he did. He was awesome.
In 2016?
But 2015, 9 games, 5 home runs, the Schwarber bomb off the Budweiser sign, .889 slugging percentage. Awesome. 2016, he had the hit that started it all late in Game 7. We were all there. It was incredible. But I went back. I looked at the numbers. He had 17 at-bats, .412 average. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, guys, 2017, a .176 average, a .300 on-base percentage. 2018, 1 at-bat, 1 strikeout. He was terrible for the Cubs.
They all were. He's a .900 OPS guy for his
52 games in the postseason.
Right, and I'm saying so much of that came in 15 and 16 and what we remember in the city.
It also happened in 2021 and 2022, Nick, with Boston and Philly.
Down. Hang on. 2020, 4 at-bats in the postseason, 3 walks and a strikeout. 2021, 11 games, a .205 average, a .286 on base percentage. 2022, 17 games, a .218 average, a .392 on base percentage. You guys were talking .392 about
on base percentage is great. He's not a batting average guy. You don't measure stuff by batting average anymore.
I get it, but I understand that. But we are. What you guys are saying is, the city has never seen a clutch guy like Schwarber. What? Schwarber had some fantastic moments while he was here. But to knock down Jed Hoyer for not spending
$9 million.
Nick, I think you are in a very small group that believes that was a defendable position by the Cubs front office. Not only that, but you didn't even tender him. So you got nothing in return for him.
Have I forgotten some gigantic Schwarber tear in those last couple years? He was horrible. What?
You name me other guys who are more clutch in Cubs history than Kyle Schwarber.
In Cubs history, Ryan Sandberg,
Give me their postseason numbers. Mark Grace had a good postseason in '89, but you're out of your mind. Like, they didn't win a series. '84, they didn't beat the Padres. They lost in 5. They choked. '89, they lost to the Giants.
Schwarber was terrific in 15 and in his moment when he came back in 16. What I'm saying
he
is...
He did one of the most heroic things in 2016, Nick. Like, what he did in 16 is almost unheard of in sports, coming back from a knee injury, not seeing live pitching, and doing what he did in 4 games. Without him, Cubs fans don't have the World Series memory.
Well, and if he were standing with me at the bar, I'd buy him a beer and tell him you did fantastic, and it was great to watch. But to oversell the last few years there, I mean, he went down to Iowa. He was awful. Like, if we're saying he had one of the greatest clutch moments that we've seen in Chicago sports history.
I think, Nick, I don't think you can poo-poo especially on the biggest stages under the brightest lights against the best teams. I don't think that you can diminish collectively what he has done in the postseason. Like, there are others that may have better numbers, but there are others, very talented players, that can't even sniff what Kyle Schwarber has done in the postseason. And it's the moments, it's the time, it's the place, it's when things happen that also, all that stuff has to be factored in when you ask the question, does this particular player have the clutch gene?
Like, Nick, you have some nerve. You have some nerve to beat up Zach LaVine, and rightfully so, and then come on here and then beat up Kyle Schwarber, who has done it on the biggest stage, who has won everywhere he's been. You email Jacob Nitzberg and you compare his postseason numbers historically with some of the greats in baseball, and you come back on Friday and join us, and you compare them, okay?
That's your homework project. I don't want to waste our time on Friday talking about this stuff.
All right. We got to run.
There's other things that we can hit on.
All right. We're up against it.
This is the problem.
We're
talking about such a small sample size in Chicago. Has he had some great moments for the Phillies last year?
Do you know what a small sample size is? Mike Trout's got 12 playoff at-bats, and he's got one hit.
Yeah, but I don't care about Mike Trout because he doesn't play
okay.
in Chicago.
I know, we're giving it context.
We got to run. You know what a small sample size is? Your brain. No.
Yeah. Hey, the club has three. We know who's in the club. It's Schwarber, LaVine, and Cutler. We love falling in love.
All right.
With
get out of here.
He's nice to us, though.
See you, Nick. Get out of here. Nick Friedel. Jimmy Butler's in that club, too. He comes through in the postseason. Get out, Nick Friedel. Crapping all over Kyle Schwarber. Shot or no shot coming up next. Waddle
He's
and
still
Sylvie.
Here.
You get him out of here, Jay Moore. And Waddle and Sylvie in for Captain Jay Hud. We're back in two.
Checkmate 1-6. Suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain Jay Hud on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in
Shot or no shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Win $400 in NCAA tournament bets and Kentucky Derby bets while enjoying $4 Sam Adams beers. Details at HawthorneBettingBars.com. Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Jay Hud. Hoodie's on vacation. Cap will be in for us, as we've got a White Sox game on, so Cap will do a solo show right before first pitch today at 3 o'clock. Shay!
What's up, boys?
How you doing?
Good to see you again this morning. When did we do this last? 2 weeks ago?
I think so. 2-3 weeks ago?
Time flies.
Very affable in the morning, Shay.
Yeah.
Who is me?
You.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't hear that much.
Yeah, you're very affable. And, like, I hope we get to your topic with your wife later in the show.
We might get to it here in Shot or No Shot.
Let's go. Let's get to it. Let's get to this.
All right, so let's get started with a little Bears first. Two of the top NFL draft analysts, Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah, released new mock drafts yesterday. Both had the Bears going the route of offensive tackle at number 9. Kiper had the Bears picking up Paris Johnson out of Ohio State. Daniel Jeremiah had the Bears selecting Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern. So shot or no shot, regardless of the name, offensive tackle is the right call for the Bears at number 9.
I think that's a shot. I subscribe to what I subscribed to last year. They've got a process. You got to let them use their process. Ryan Poles is a guy that sets his board and sticks to it. They still have so many needs that his formula has to be followed again this year. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you have a more complete roster, then you can pick and choose whether or not you're going to follow best available player regardless of position, or you're going to factor in the position of need more so. Not with this team. If one of those offensive linemen is the highest rated player on Poles' board, take him. If it's a cornerback, take him. If it's Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver from Ohio State's the highest rated player at 9 and you're still there, take him.
Yeah.
Take the best player in your mind that is available at that time.
It's a boring cliche, but it's very true. But shot to both things. Like, you could get the best offensive tackle, and you still don't have a tackle at wherever you're opposite of Braxton Jones. Do you want to play Braxton Jones at right, or do you want to play him at left where he was last year? I don't know what he is, so go out and draft that. And did you see how much Denver has paid for their offensive line? The two guys, what did McGlinchey get? Like, they were in the McGlinchey market.
Yeah, a huge bag of money. In fact, it got so expensive, the Bears bailed.
So you see...
$87.5 million, 52 of which was guaranteed.
You see what all these guys are getting? So if you can get a young player, and you could have two young, cost-controlled players at both tackle positions... with a cost-controlled quarterback for now, let's go.
Yeah.
They're good, you're in business.
Sure. If it's a three technique, if it's Jalen Carter there and you've done your due diligence and you are comfortable with the pick, pick him. If it's corner, pick him. Regardless of what it is, the only position where you wouldn't make that decision is quarterback. And that goes without saying.
Remind me later. I know this is shot or no shot. I've got a would you rather question for you later in the show on Jalen Carter.
Cross-pollinate.
Won't cross-pollinate, but remind me to bring a Jalen Carter question up for all you guys later.
Deal. I'm in. I asked this yesterday. This is about the Panthers and polls targeting three players. Yesterday we speculated about who they were. Now we have it from Joe Person, beat writer for The Athletic, for the Panthers. It was DJ Moore, Brian Burns, and Derek Brown. I asked this yesterday, but I want your perspective. Shot or no shot? DJ Moore still the most exciting name of those three players?
No shot. It's Brian Burns. Brian Burns is their best player. He gets the quarterback on the ground. It's one of the most important players. DJ Moore is very good, and I'm very excited to get him. But Brian Burns is young, in the prime of his career, is just like DJ Moore. He may even be a year younger than DJ Moore. Is he 24, Brian Burns? But he's fantastic.
Brian
24. He'll 24. Turn 25.
Yeah, he's the most accomplished player.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say no shot as well. And again, it's not a vote against DJ Moore. It's a vote for Brian Burns. Yeah, I think he's an even more impactful player. I'm not upset. I'm very happy.
I'm very happy.
But Brian Burns, as a pass rusher, I think is more accomplished than DJ Moore is as a pass catcher. And that's saying a lot, because I think DJ Moore is a one. So... No shot.
We have a little bit of disgruntled player news in the NBA, and it may have an impact on the Bulls this coming offseason. An interview with Jaylen Brown was published in The Ringer yesterday. He was asked what his long-term future is in Boston. His answer, quote, "I don't know," regarding being in Boston long-term. With the Bulls seemingly ready to overhaul the roster this offseason, shot or no shot, they should trade for Jaylen Brown.
That's a shot from me. I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, get me from point A to trade for Jaylen Brown. I don't know how you get there. That's a long, circuitous path.
Sign and trade Kobe White?
You know what? Just because it's 8 in the morning, it's not an excuse for nonsense.
Well, it's always an excuse for nonsense.
Okay. Well, I don't know how you're going to get there, but he's 26 years of age. You know, he's averaging almost 27 points this year.
Zach's the oppo Jaylen Brown, is he not? Because Jaylen Brown will play defense and will do a lot of the dirty work and score.
Yeah. I think they're similar players.
Well, I don't know. Jaylen Brown is
more complete player.
Way more complete player.
I'm a little lower on him than most. I don't think he's the defender. I don't think he's the defender a lot of people give him credit
for. Are you a Boston fan as well?
So, I watch a lot of Celtics basketball. I don't think he's the defender people think.
How did you become such a Boston fan with the Patriots and the Celtics?
Well, I had family when I was growing up. I had family that lived in Boston. We'd visit them 4 or 5 times pretty often. And Lions games, if you know, the NFL had the blackout.
Unwatchable.
They had the blackout rule, so if they didn't sell out the games, you couldn't watch any of the home games. So when those got blacked out, I already had a family connection to Boston, and the Patriots would always be on, so it was kind of easy.
I think you should develop a New England accent just for you-know-whats and giggles.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to support...
No shot or no shot with the Boston accent.
Listen, if you're going to be a Celtics fan and a Patriots fan, come on, let's go full. Let's go both feet in.
Yeah, I think I think the Bulls are, this is a huge offseason, and this is an offseason where AK is going to be thinking about remaking their team. And if Jaylen Brown wants out, then he should definitely be on the radar. And the Bulls have guys that they want to trade, whether it's DeMar, whether it's Zach LaVine as part of the trade, whether it's a sign and trade with Vooch. Try all these things.
I mean, Jaylen Brown is not. Zach's got a better 3-point percentage, I would, and a better free throw percentage. But if I asked you if you could trade them one for one, who would you rather have? I'd say Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
At this point.
All right, Tommy, I'm going to give it a try here.
Yeah, give
it's
it a
terrible.
Try. Yeah,
I'm going to try.
What's that bad?
Yeah. Mike Petriello of MLB.com had an interesting instant reaction to the final at-bat of the WBC. Seems like hyperbole to say that was one of the most important PA in baseball history, but it was. Two of the best ever talents in their first matchup, Taylor. With the title on the line, blasting 102 and nasty spin to end the WBC. We might look back on as the one that launched it. That was the quote from Mike Petriello. Shot or no shot, that was one of the most important plate appearances in baseball history.
I'm going to say no shot.
Me too.
It just, listen, I get it. We live in the moment.
Important? Was it great? Was it fantastic? Was it awesome to market baseball? Yes. But important? I mean, come on.
No.
Jackie Robinson, like, those are important, and there are, like, more important things for the game. But this... this was fantastic, but yeah. It wasn't.
I think by the time we get to June, most baseball fans, you won't because you're a diehard, most baseball fans, this will be in the rearview mirror and people will have forgotten about it.
I don't think that. No, I don't agree with that.
I think the casual fan will, this will drift into their.
I'll remember, like, I still remember, too, like, as weird as it is.
You're a diehard, though.
Well, I'm not a. I still remember T.J. Oshie's shootout for Olympic hockey.
I know,
but you weren't as into it as I was. I watched it. I was up for that. When TJ Oshie took every shootout, that was like it was magnificent. Like, I remember watching U.S. Canada hockey in Mexico. Like, I remember these things. So while it may not be the most important, it still is a super memorable at bat, and I don't think I'll forget watching
it. You're not a construction worker, though. You live in the world of sports. I think that for the average fan, I think it's more likely that this will drift into the backs of their minds, and it won't be something that is on the front of their brain.
Okay.
So, but listen, it was fun. I think it was needed for the game of baseball for sure. But I think we're going to be talking more at the end of this season. And again, it'll be more fresh in your mind about the rule changes and how they impacted the 2023 Major League Baseball season. And we won't even be discussing the WBC at that point.
Probably true. All right, boys, I texted.
That's
a short. I texted you this yesterday. I was walking home from breakfast with my wife. We went through some of the breakfast
bracket
yesterday, and she was fortunate enough we were going home at the same time. I wanted chicken and waffles, so we went and got breakfast. And on the way home, she pointed to a dog that was just pooping right on the sidewalk. And she said the very simple statement, can you imagine being a dog and just being able to poop wherever? So it brought up a debate where I asked, if it were socially acceptable, would you poop in public anywhere? And she said, no. I thought she was lying. So I want to ask the two of you, shot or no shot, if it were socially acceptable, you would poop in public anywhere?
No shot. Well, this opens Pandora's box here, and more than just Pandora's box. I mean, so are we just dropping trow here now?
Well,
I mean,
it's become socially acceptable example.
So that means now nudity is socially acceptable?
I guess so.
Or do we just
know.
Have like a poop flap where now we just open up the poop flap and we take a squat? Yeah. Does this mean now wiping is not an issue?
Wow. No, why would that be?
Well, are we wiping then?
You have to.
Well, do we? Like, dogs don't wipe.
Well, no, but then you'd have to have like a toilet paper bag that you throw away when you're done. You'd have to clean it up after yourself, I would think, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have to treat yourself like the dog that you are for crapping in the street?
You would have to take care of it still, but if it's socially acceptable, I assume you have the ability to clean up after yourself.
It's legal for you to poop upstairs, but you won't because you like to play a home game. You're not squatting in the middle of State Street, even if it's acceptable.
That's too much work. There's too much. There's too much cleanup. There are toilets all over the place. And this isn't like if the world didn't have toilets, should we go outside? This is, if it's socially acceptable, would you go in the street? Right?
That's yeah. Right. I mean,
I also asked her, I asked the same question because she was a little hesitant about the poop. I said, okay, well, if you could pee in public, if it was socially acceptable to pee and you could just squat and pee wherever you want. And she still said no. She would go home.
Well, this is, here's my plan. If I was ruler of the day, I don't think you should be allowed to pee all the time outdoors because then there would just be pee all over the place.
We live in an even more disgusting environment than we already do.
I believe at birth, like a coach in a football game gets two challenges before every football game.
Call it the whiz flag.
You get two free public urinations. You should not get arrested for your first public urination or a ticket. That's ridiculous. You should get two free emergencies.
What if you're standing on top of the Chicago Theater sign, no, peeing down on?
You should not be able to rain down on people. All right. Well, you should not be able to whiz on people.
I'm just trying to find a way to make it
rain. You should not be able to make it rain. Okay. But if you're out and you have nowhere to go and you go in an alley like a responsible person because you have to and a cop sees you, you should be able to say, here's my ticket. I've got two left. It's a punch card. You should not be able to get a ticket because it's an emergency.
We got to figure out a way to get you a third. Yeah. You earn a third if you do something with the first two.
Yeah, like, right. Like, if you do something to help society, you can earn things that are along the way. And, yes, I would like a third public urination ticket. Like, it's ridiculous that we're handing out penalties for public urination.
If it's an emergency, I don't want you. You know what? You could cause physical damage to yourself if you try to hold the whiz in when the whiz needs to come out.
Yes.
So,
are you?
I understand what you're saying.
With that plan?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. There's no pooping in public, though.
No.
We don't need that.
I don't need a poop flap.
It's too. You know, we live in a disgusting environment a lot of the time, anyway.
He's Waddle. I'm Selvie. We're in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Love that. The Kirk Cousins at the end there. Surround the NFL.
It's the only thing you love about Kirk Cousins.
That is.
He is on your top five list of all the players you hate.
I don't hate him. I just think he's overrated, overpaid.
Nobody thinks he's any good. How can anybody think he's rated?
You love him.
I don't love him. I just think he's a better player than most do.
It's around the NFL. Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie is on vacation. Cap will be in for us today. So we have a short show for White Sox baseball. So we're filling in for the guys today and tomorrow. Let's go back to Shay Norling.
All right, let's start with this and around the NFL. I saw the Coach of the Year odds are available at some offshore books. Dan Campbell leads the way at 11-1. He is the current favorite. Tied for second, Sean Payton at 12-1 is tied with none other than Matt Eberflus, the second best odds to win Coach of the Year in 2023 at 12-1.
I will say that, and I'm not opposed to it, there's a lot of Bears Kool-Aid that is flowing around the NFL universe right now.
Sure.
I'm all for it. I don't believe I'll put my money there. I like Coach, but I expect this team to win seven games, hopefully a few more than that. If they win eight or nine games, he's definitely going to be in the conversation. But
well, it's a formula, isn't it? Isn't it about a coach who is coaching a bad team that has a good turnaround? Did Daboll win it this year? Did Peterson win it this year? I thought it should have been
Pete Carroll.
Like, he didn't get enough love for me.
Well, that would have made sense because they were the team that was predicted to be the worst team by many in all of the National Football League. And at the end of the day, they ended up being a postseason team.
Yeah. Who won it this year, Shane?
Dable did win it.
Yeah. So, like, it's Dable. The Giants weren't expected to do much. They go to the postseason. So, if the Bears have a 6-game improvement and they go from 3-9.
Oh, yeah. If they win 9, if they have an above 500 record, definitely he'll be in the mix for coach of the year.
I like the Sean Payton bet on this because if he gets them in that division playing well and he fixes Russell Wilson, if Russell Wilson plays like Russell Wilson, I like that play.
Do they have to make the playoffs for him to win it? Because remember, Dan Campbell, who's the favorite this year, that Lions team went from 3 wins to 9 wins. They didn't make the playoffs. He wasn't even a finalist. It was Dable, Shanahan, and Doug Peterson.
I think it's likely that you have to get to the postseason for somebody to win Coach of the Year.
That's why, like, the Dan Campbell thing is tough. For him to win Coach of the Year this year, they really have to have a good year.
Well, they have to be. Yeah, they definitely have to be a postseason. They probably got to win the division.
Yeah.
They might have to be, like, the 1 or 2 seed in the NFC. They were good enough last year. The improvement has to be massive.
Well, now it's because once you set the bar at a certain level, there are expectations, and nobody is going to give you credit for just meeting expectations. You have to exceed expectations to be considered for a postseason or for end-of-season hardware.
All right, let's talk about the Ohio State Pro Day happening today. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Best player on the field today, by far.
Expected to catch passes from C.J. Stroud. Well,
that's a tease. Is it? I mean,
well, but what percent of people then are going to watch Marvin Harrison Jr. and get early scouting for 2024?
I don't think I don't need any early scouting. For me, he's already on the top of the football mountain. But I think didn't some of the other receivers, younger receivers that were coming back, do this for Justin? When Justin was coming out for his pro day,
didn't
Garrett Wilson, I think, and Chris Olave go out and do their thing with him?
Should you be allowed to draft and stash? Like, back
that's
in the
a really
old
interesting
like
question.
Draft the rights to Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Like, in the old NBA, used to be able to do that. You used to be able to draft, then stash, and they went back to college. They would be able to play in college.
Well, wasn't Larry Bird? That was Larry Bird, I think, was a draft and stash for the Celtics.
Would you use number 9 on the rights to Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Oh, I think he'd still go in the top 5. Wouldn't he go in the top 5?
Yeah, he's by far the best receiver. If he came out this year, he'd be the best receiver by leaps and bounds.
And yes, I'd take him at number 9.
That's an interesting conversation. What would you give up? Would you give up getting a player in the first round this year to get the rights to Marvin Harrison Jr. next
year? I still don't think I would do it unless it was a quarterback.
And a lot of guys who are ranked, you know, Abdallah talks about this all the time, a year away.
Can fall.
It could fall, then a new guy all of a sudden can come out of nowhere.
Yeah, think about last year. Jordan Addison was prohibitive, the first wide receiver off the board, and now it's Smith and Jigba and Quentin Johnston in front of him. So it's quick.
Yeah.
Talking about that Ohio State Pro Day, the Panthers are sending the organization. David and Nicole Tepper, general manager Scott Fitterer, head coach Frank Reich, assistant GM Dan Morgan, and then a bunch of C-suite people you don't care about, including quarterbacks coach Josh McCown, senior assistant Jim Caldwell, all be in person in Columbus to watch the Pro Day today. C.J. Stroud's going number 1 overall.
I forgot about that our guy Josh McCown, when they traded for number 1, is now their quarterback's coach.
He's got a good staff. I think I read an article, I was reading pieces of an article that said when they hired Frank Reich, they told him, hire the best coaches, not the coaches that you're familiar with, but go out there. If you think this guy, hire him, there'll be no budgetary limits. Listen, it's their team. They can do whatever the hell they want. I don't know why Mrs. Tepper she want to sit in on some of the 40 times or some of the throws.
Even David.
Let it rip, CJ, let it rip.
Do you know what's crazy? Beyond the C-suite and even the ownership pair, They have three digital media assistants with them in Columbus today. They might as well do
what
the draft
are they doing,
today.
Like a whole hype video? Is that what you're saying?
What are they going to do, media day with C.J. Stroud from his pro day?
Listen, I got no problem with any of it. It's better than not doing your homework. All we ask our teams to do is do your due diligence in your homework. They're sending everybody there. Have at it.
Right.
And then this is a story I found fascinating yesterday. Ben Roethlisberger claims he was in discussions with the 49ers to join their team as a quarterback during the season last year.
Wow. This is like your Cutler thing. You wanted Jay to go play for Shanny.
I was asked, because there's familiarity, because Jay played for his father in Denver. I wondered whether, and I think I sent Jay a text, and I said, I haven't talked to him, but sure, who wouldn't?
Well, apparently Ben would.
We can ask him about that on Friday when he's at the 25-year celebration.
Either that or ask Kyle about it.
I think that there's... Right, if Kyle's there for him. I think that there are certain organizations and certain coaches that great players will even consider the unthinkable. Like, I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger at this point, because of the elbow injury, can throw the football through a wet paper bag. I have no idea. But Kyle, you would trust that Kyle Shanahan would put you in a position to take advantage of what you did have left in your body.
That would have been juicy. But again, Shanny, you know, takes Mr. Irrelevant.
Listen, I'm not so sure if Brock Purdy isn't hurt, I'm not willing to tell you that the Eagles advance. That game could have gone either way.
Javon Hargrave himself has said that game would have gone very differently. He's now a 49er, obviously.
Of course.
But he has said that game would have gone very differently if Purdy stayed in.
I forget the how it unfolded, but early in the third quarter, it was still a game, wasn't it?
Right. Crazy.
Apparently, this quote from Ben, by the way, sounds like he told them no. He said, they were, I think, reaching out to gauge my interest. I had discussions. I'd be lying if I didn't say there was a small part of me that was intrigued. I could still do it and prove to people that I could still play. At the end of the day, I just can't see myself in anything other than black and gold.
Wow. Yeah, but they were gauging his interest. Yeah. I don't know. That's not an offer.
Listen,
like they were throwing out a wide net.
Yes. What I want to know is Tom Brady received a phone call from the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes. That's great.
In any way, shape, or form over the last couple of weeks or months.
He's coming back, right?
I don't know. I'm still in the no camp.
Ooh.
But I just wonder if the connection has been made yet.
Okay. That's around the NFL. Every day on Cap and J-Hood, we're in for the guys. Waddle and Sylvie normally 2 to 6.
Some madness.
The breakfast madness is awesome. And so we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. We'll get you the update coming up next.